Welcome to Thousand Hills. We'd like to thank you guys for tuning in. Hope you enjoy this message, and we hope that it speaks blessings in your life.
Heather, the real deal Hague, isn't used to a head mic, so y'all... I like the security of a handheld. It gives me something like it's like a comfort, you know, to hold on to something. So anyways, I'm open-handed today and able to move around. But anyways, thank you, David. I'm not sure where he slipped off to, but that song, I asked my dad the other day, I said, Dad, what's your favorite song? And I've always known my dad likes all sorts of music, like anything from, you know, this was actually what he listed as his favorite song, to Adele, to, I mean, he kind of likes it all, Journey. So he, you know, he likes all sorts of different music, but that was the first song that he listed. So I asked David, I said, hey, would you mind singing that song if it's good? I don't really know what the lyrics mean, but anyways, would you mind singing that? And so he said, sure, I know that song, and he did it. So I'm just glad that we have that talent in our church to be able to, you know, get up there and sing a song on request a couple days before you need to do it. So let's give it up for our band. Again, him and his son. It's pretty neat to see, you know, especially on Father's Day, him and his son up here leading us in worship. So, like Bo said, we've been gone a couple weeks. We were gone a few days with his family to Branson. His dad does the timeshare thing, and so we got to stay in a fun little condo for a few days with his family and just enjoy that time. And yes, he did get suckered into an upgrade. We were there, and we went to, I actually went with him to this meeting where they try to, you know, sell you something different, keep you plugged in. And his, you know, the whole time where I'm going to say no, kids, you know, help me say no, we're not going to do anything this time. And then we ended up getting a 5-bedroom instead of a 3. So anyways, I was excited about it. I think it'll be fun. And it's just a great time that we have, you know, every year with his family. So, and then last weekend, Bo and I actually went to Colorado. I think if you were here last week, you saw the video. I went up there and did a race, and it was beautiful. We had a great time. Bo has a friend from college that owns a restaurant in Boulder, Colorado, and so he hadn't seen him since high school or talked to him since high school, called him up on the phone and said, hey, we're, you know, coming up, is your restaurant open? And so we swung by, and it was fun to get to see Bo reconnect with an old buddy of his that didn't seem like it had been, what, 20 years? Since they had, you know, had talked or whatever. So anyways, it was just a great time. But happy Father's Day. I don't know how I got roped into teaching on Mother's Day and Father's Day, but I did. I apologize. You know, typically get like the Steph Curry of preaching, and today you're getting the fourth or fifth string of that. So thanks for being here. But happy Father's Day. And if you're a dad, I just want to let you know that if you have daughters, she adores you. I can probably assure you of that. If you have sons, you're their hero. And so just know that your role is so important to kids. I tried to make this a little bit shorter this time to allow for my crying breaks. I get the times where I have to talk about my mom or talk about my dad, and that stuff tends to be emotional. But again, I want to, you know, just be honest. I know some of you hear Happy Father's Day and it makes you cringe because maybe your dad wasn't a great guy. Maybe you weren't, you know, brought up in a home where you had a loving father, and I apologize for that. You know, maybe you didn't have a dad growing up. I know Bo, his dad's dad passed away when he was 4 years old, and so my father-in-law grew up, you know, without a dad. And he's testimony to how God can step in and fill that gap. I mean, he's an amazing man, and he, you know, had to depend on his heavenly father to raise him up. And so, or maybe your father, you know, passed away recently, and that's, you know, that's a hard time. But like Bo has said before, you know, if your dad, you know, wasn't just a great guy, that our heavenly father isn't the reflection of our earthly father. He's the perfection of that. So even if you have a great dad, know that your heavenly father is even more perfect and even greater than our earthly fathers are. And he can fill, like I said, he can fill those gaps. And again, I don't care how great of a dad you had, there was times where he wasn't always there. There's times where maybe he didn't have the words to say. He wasn't just there when you needed him, but God is always there. And that's, I'm so thankful to have a Heavenly Father who's there for me, you know, when someone can't be here on this earth. And before we start, I want to say that I'm blessed, you know, to have a wonderful dad, but I'm also blessed to have a wonderful dad for my kids. you know, he teaches our kids about the Lord, and that's the first, you know, that's his number one priority, and I'm thankful for that. He teaches our kids to be respectful. Not that they're perfect at that, but they know what it is to be respectful to people. He's taught them to love people, no matter what they look like, smell like, you know, treat them like, where, you know, that they're to love them. He's teaching them to work hard. You know, last night we got home and we were gone Friday night, and apparently there was a huge storm up here, right? So we get home and there's tree limbs everywhere, and our kids hop out and get them all picked up. So, and we went inside after we helped a little bit and let them finish. So we're teaching our kids, you know, to work. He has fun with our kids. You know, it's like the dad is the magnet for a wrestling match, right? Like you go to Whitewater and we're all just floating down the little lazy river. Then dad gets in. It's like, rah, you know, they jump all over him and hang on him. And so he has a great time with our kids. He'll play catch with them, ride horses. He just makes life fun. So thank you. And I've also, you know, been blessed to have great dads in my family. I have a great father-in-law, like I already said, who's a godly man. Turned his life over to the Lord right before Beau was born, I believe. And he's just a gentle man. If you knew Kent Haig, you know, he's from Woodward, so some of you might know him. He's a quiet man, and so when he speaks, you listen because he doesn't talk a lot. And he's just so tender-hearted and kind, and I'm blessed to have a great father-in-law. He takes care of his wife. I always say my mother-in-law has it good. Like, she has it so good. I mean, he has, you know, he worked full-time, paid all the bills, bought the groceries, cleaned up supper. I mean, he's just an amazing man and treats his wife well. I have great grandpas. I was trying to figure out the right wording for that, but my dad's dad is a great man. They live in Newcastle, and he is just a loving and funny guy. He's always joking around. He was one of those guys you didn't know if he was joking or serious. I got in trouble a few times because I thought he was joking and he was serious. He, you know, loves to share of his garden produce. He has a huge garden. It's kind of downsized a little bit in the past couple of years with his age and everything. But, I mean, his thrill is when I go over there for him to go out and pick onions and give me some squash and tomatoes and all that great stuff and eggs. We have, I think, 8 dozen eggs in our refrigerator right now. I mean, how do you say no? So, anyways, and then my grandpa, Donald Gordon, some of you may know him. He was from Mutual. He was a gruff man. I mean, he was scary, but so nice. Like, his outer core was frightening. All of us grandkids were always so scared of him, but he was just so fun. He was a safe place for us. He was loving. And I do testify that I was the only grandchild that did not get a spanking. My cousin likes to argue with me in that, but it's the truth. I was the only granddaughter, which might be why, but was the only grandkid that didn't get a spanking. But anyways, today I want to tell you a little bit about my dad. And I believe that the things I'm talking about today describe our Heavenly Father as well. And I think that they're things that, you know, whether you're a mom, dad, teenager, whatever, these are all things that we can apply to our lives. It's just going to look a little different for each of us. So I believe that if you strive to do these things, especially if you're a father, that undoubtedly your kids are going to feel loved. And I think that that's, you know, one of the greatest blessings that we can give our children is just that confidence that they're, you know, that their parent, that they are loved. So anyways, the title of today's message is My Great Dad. And I was going to say characteristics of a poncho and lefty fan, but I just figured my great dad was a little bit more simple. So I am blessed to call Lonnie Robertson dad. and there's lots of things, you know, I was trying to think, what do I talk about? There's lots of characteristics about my dad that are great. Some of you know him. He owns a Dodge dealership in Chickasha. So if you're in the market and you want someone of integrity and who's honest, I have a few friends that have purchased from him and, texted me and said, "We love your dad. He's so awesome." So anyways, my dad's smart. He's a very business savvy guy. I mean, growing up, he always, you know, if I had a question about, you know, finances or math or, you know, and then into adulthood as, you know, investing or saving money or things like that, he's who I would ask. He's very, very wise in that area. My dad's generous. He's generous with, you know, his money. He's generous with his time. He, you know, lives down the road from my grandparents, and he's always, you know, taking his tractor down there and putting up hay for him or helping them with their cattle or whatever they need. He does. you know, my son is real into fishing right now, and he got a new tackle box and just had a few things, and my dad filled it up. I mean, we were driving home yesterday, and I think he had left it there, and even while we were gone, my dad had filled it up with even more stuff. And so he's just a generous guy. I mean, there's been times where he walked by me and gave me some cash and said, "Hey, go buy something for yourself." I was like, "All right." So he's just, you know, a great guy. He's generous with his friends. If, you know, something happens and they need him, he's there. If he recently he's had one of his best friends had a stroke, and, you know, my dad was at the hospital, you know, probably before the ambulance was. I mean, he's just that kind of guy. His dealership, you know, every year they set aside money and give to a family in need. And so he's just a generous guy. So I could go on and on about those stories, but there's a few things that I want to focus in on today that I believe make him a great dad. And before I want to say, my dad's not perfect. I mean, he's human, just like all of us. People, you know, we're all flawed, but you don't have to be perfect to be a great dad, and that's something I want to just encourage you in today. So maybe some of these characteristics will help you to grow and be an even better dad. So, and I want to encourage you, if you do have a great dad, to, you know, honor them today. And maybe you didn't have a great dad, still honor them today. Send them a text and just, you know, tell them Happy Father's Day and let them know that you appreciate them. Number one, we're just going to get started. A great dad is encouraging. Ephesians 4:29, it says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." This was probably the number one thing that came to my mind when I think of my dad, is how encouraging he is. He's always been encouraging to me. Anytime he told me something, it benefited me. And sometimes that isn't necessarily something that you want to hear, but it's something that we all need to hear at times, whether it was, you know, encouraging me, building me up or whatever, or teaching me something like, you know, "Baby, you really need to do this, or think about this, or this decision would probably be more wise," or whatever. He always spoke words of life. Growing up, my dad was my biggest fan. With his words, he made me believe I was the prettiest girl in the world, and I knew it wasn't true, but he, you know, would still tell me that. He, you know, taught me that, you know, made me believe that I could do anything, you know, and he just always built me up. I was the best daughter. I was the best three-point shooter on our basketball team. I was the smartest student. I mean, all these things, he always built me up with encouragement, whether it was spoken verbally or, you know, in a card or letter. My dad was great at writing, and so when I was in college graduating, he wrote me a letter just telling me how awesome I was, and now go get a job and support us, you know. So he was always very encouraging. I've never questioned my dad's love for me. That's one thing that, you know, I can testify to. There's never been a day where I thought, I don't think my dad loves me. I've never felt like that. I've always felt unconditional love. I've always felt worthy. I never felt like I had to earn or work for his love. I never felt like I needed to do more to get his approval. And I think, especially for girls, that's really important to have that confidence. And again, my dad, he was just a safe place for me. One example of this is that when I graduated from college, I went to Thailand and spent 8 weeks as a missionary. As you can imagine, my dad wasn't real excited about that, sending his baby girl across, you know, the world where he wasn't going to, you know, was going to have limited communication with me and all that stuff. I was very excited about this opportunity. I was scared, obviously. I was going by myself, and I was meeting up with a team of other people from the United States in Thailand. So we weren't meeting up, you know, and then flying out all together. We were each individually coming from our own state and then just meeting up in Thailand. So I was doing good. You know, and then when I got to Minneapolis, we were flying from Minneapolis to Tokyo, and I was probably one of three Americans on the flight. And I remember sitting in the airport just thinking, "What have I done? I don't know if I can do this. This is scary." You know, I was really nervous. And so I called my dad. He used a payphone, didn't have a cell phone then. Used the payphone, and I called my dad, his 1-800 number at work, and I said, "Dad, I don't know if I can do this. You know, I'm scared," or whatever. And he said, "You can do this." And he said, "I'm so proud of you." When I knew he was just as scared as I was, and I know probably deep down he probably wanted to say, "I'll get you a flight back home. Just forget it. It's okay. You don't have to go." But anyways, because, you know, again, I was going to be gone for 8 weeks. And of those 8 weeks, 10 days, we were going to be up country, which meant we were sleeping in mosquito nets. I mean, there was no electricity, no running water, no way to, you know, communicate with anyone. And so I knew that terrified him. And I knew that was a scary scenario for a parent. But even in that time, in the midst of his nervousness and, you know, probably fear for me, he still encouraged me. And so I, you know, from that I learned that even when it's hard for us to speak those encouraging words to our kids, they're still useful. I mean, hearing my dad say, you got this, you can do this, gave me what I needed to get on that plane and not let him down and show him, yeah, you're right, I can do this. And so I would say, you know, and as a parent, I think, gosh, it would be hard to speak those words even when you maybe don't fully mean them, because you do want to just say, just come on home. They're still useful, so speak them anyways. But I want to, you know, make this clear that no one encourages us like God does. And we need to turn to him first. You know I had been praying and was praying, you know, Lord, help me to do this. But having that earthly voice, you know, definitely helped. But through God's word, through the Bible, we receive, you know, words of encouragement. And it teaches us, you know, it says all things are possible with God, Mark 10:27. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, Philippians 4:13. We are more than conquerors, Romans 8:37. And God has a plan for our lives, Jeremiah 29:11. And so talk about encouragement, and that's straight from the Word of God, which is inspired by God. And so I just encourage you to turn to God, turn to his Word for encouragement, because there's going to be times where your earthly father either doesn't, maybe he wasn't encouraging, or he can't encourage you anymore, maybe he's, you know, passed on, but God is there to encourage you. You know, when I was in Thailand and I wasn't able to get a hold of my dad, I'm thankful in those moments that I had Christ and I had him first in my life to turn to for that encouragement. So a great dad is encouraging. Number two, a great dad is forgiving. And I want to read a story that may be familiar to you, maybe not, but the story of the prodigal son. And it's found in Luke 15:11-24. And it says, Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. So from this story, we learned that even though his son obviously made some stupid decisions, and I would say was even arrogant enough to ask his dad for his inheritance before his dad had even passed away, his dad had compassion on him and ran to him when he saw him. And this, to me, shows forgiveness. It shows that the father, you know, even though his son had made all these poor decisions, he still forgave him. And I want to say, I was actually, you know, I was a pretty good kid growing up. I never got into a lot of trouble. Bo, I remember one time we were eating with my family, and he said, what did Heather ever do to really get in trouble? Like, what are some stories you can tell me? I want some dirt. And my dad was like, she really nothing. I mean, she was really just a good, you know, a good kid. Obviously, I wasn't perfect, but I'm a pleaser, and so I was never bent towards, you know, trying to deliberately dishonor or disobey or whatever. So, but I will say I was a little accident prone. There was this time my parents, they had given us a go-kart for Christmas, right? And we still have it. My parents still have it. It still runs, I think. It doesn't seem like it's probably as fast as it used to be. But anyways, we had this go-kart. And of course, you know, my parents being the safety that they are, I had to wear a helmet. And it was a motorcycle helmet. So I had like the shade that came down, you know, or whatever. So I'm riding this go-kart around. We had like 7 acres or whatever. And we had a swimming pool. And our swimming pool had a fence around it. Well, I was coming up this little hill and coming back down, and I'm not sure how this happened, but I ran into the fence and demolished our fence. And it was a privacy fence or whatever. So I get up and I'm bobbling, run into my dad, you know, this helmet's like on my head, and he's mowing and he sees me. And I mean, he jumps off that mower so fast and just runs toward me. And I mean, he was scared to death. And he thought I was hurt, I guess. And I was like, "Dad, I wrecked the go-kart into the fence." And, you know, he ran to me and he said, "Are you okay?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, that's all that matters. He was just thankful that I didn't run through the fence into the pool is what the deal was. So anyways, again, he ran to me just like that prodigal son, you know, or the father ran to his son there. Another time was the night before our wedding. Beau and I got married on my parents' property down by their pond. And the night before the wedding, I was outside and I was shutting their garage door down. Well, I didn't look to see that the pickup was still out a little bit outside of the garage door. And so when I shut the garage door down, it went right on the tailgate. While my dad probably clenched his teeth a little bit on that one, he said, "It's all right, babe. Don't worry about it." So anyways, my dad maybe didn't have to forgive me for going out and doing drugs or, you know, doing crazy things like that. He did have to forgive me for my clumsiness, I guess you could say. But I want to show you that also, not only did the dad forgive his son, but he pursued his son. In verse 20, it says, so he got up and went to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. So he showed his forgiveness by his actions. It wasn't just words of "you're forgiven." I mean, he actually ran and pursued his son and showed that forgiveness. And another example of this, I guess I could, you know, just example of my father forgiving me for maybe just a poor decision was when I was in college. My first year, I lived at home and went to a community college. And then I decided I was going to go to East Central University in Ada, Oklahoma. At the time, I was in a relationship with a guy and I knew it wasn't the Lord's will, but I had stayed in that relationship, and he was in college there playing basketball, and so I wanted to go to that college. So I get there and I'm just miserable. Like in my spirit, I just know, you know, I just could feel God saying, "This isn't right. This isn't right." So anyways, I went there and got moved in and everything, started classes the next day, and I called my dad and I said, "Dad, I don't think I'm supposed to be here. I think, you know, I made a bad decision. This isn't where I'm supposed to be." He said, "Well, go ahead and, you know, go to your classes, see how it goes, and then call me back." So I went to class and was just miserable. My stomach was upset. I just knew, you know, that the Holy Spirit was saying, "This isn't where you're supposed to be." So I called my dad back after class and he said, "Well, how did it go?" And I said, "Well, it's miserable. I hate it. I'm not supposed to be here. I need to come home." And he said, "Pack up your stuff and come home." I'll never forget those words, because it wasn't, you know, I mean, he just, even though I'd made a bad decision, he didn't throw it in my face. He didn't say, "Your mom spent all day coming up there yesterday and helping you move in, and we've spent all this money getting you enrolled and doing all this stuff." He said, "Pack it up and come home." And just a side note on that was a Holy Spirit-led decision for me. Like, I knew it wasn't right. And I will say that, you know, decisions like that, they weren't characteristic for me, so it wasn't something that I continually did, because I know some of you might be thinking, you know, maybe her dad shouldn't have bailed her out like that. He shouldn't have, you know, allowed her to come back home. And there are times where you need to say, "No, you're not coming home. You're going to stay," or, "No, I'm not going to come bail you out this time." But like the prodigal son, I had learned a lesson. I had learned that this wasn't what I was supposed to do. And so I think as parents, we have to seek God and use our own judgment for situations like that. And I did end up going back to East Central because I felt like it was where I was supposed to be, just not in that moment. And so I ended up going back the following semester after this relationship had ended. And I felt like God had given me a peace to go to college there. But just like the father in the story ran to his son and forgave him, this is so characteristic of our Heavenly Father as well. If you've, you know, made bad decisions, if you'll just turn to Him, He will run to you and pursue you. So a great dad is forgiving. Number three, a great dad is fun. And I would say that the prodigal son's father was fun. If you look in the story, it says, "But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate." So his son was home and he was ready to party with his family. And I would say that this was, you know, probably an intentional effort. He probably had to stop working so that he could go and have fun with his son. And so I just, again, encourage you to have fun with your kids. You know, you might think, well, there's more work to be done, or I've got to do this, or I've got to do that. Stop. Those things can wait. And sometimes these moments aren't always going to be there for you to have fun and enjoy your kids. Again, I would say that my husband is a great example of this. I mean, he'll go out and do backflips on the trampoline with our kids. At 40 years old, he can still do a backflip on the trampoline. He just knows how to have fun with our kids. And I would say the same thing about my dad. My dad was fun. He worked hard, but he played hard too. He was the guy that always would make you, that always makes you laugh. He enjoys joking around. He's a sarcastic guy. He loves to give you a hard time and just have fun. And all of my friends loved my dad. I was always, you know, I wasn't ever embarrassed for any of my friends to be around my dad. I was like, yeah, my dad's awesome. Come, you know, and he would just cut up and have a great time with my friends in high school or whatever. And he loved to have fun with us growing up, you know, whether it was playing basketball. My dad was athletic and played sports in college, but we're playing catch or whatever. But we always had a summer vacation. A lot of times that was centered around my dad's job, and wherever his job went for meetings, we would just make that our family vacation. But there's a few family vacations that that specifically stick out to me. One was one summer we were in Oklahoma City, we lived near Oklahoma City, and our family vacation was just going to be staying at home, but each of us got to pick out something that we wanted to do, and mine was actually go to Whitewater. And so I remember that summer, you know, that vacation, it was just fun. One time he took us to Lake Texoma to go fishing. I wasn't a big fisherman. I'm not a big fisherman, but my dad loves to fish. I mean, that's just, he enjoys that very much. And I was actually at my grandma's house during the summer hanging out, and I was like, I don't want to go. Y'all just go. I want to stay here at grandma's house. He's like, no, you're going on vacation with us. So we went, and it was a blast. Like, it was the most fun vacation we probably ever had. Then there was the Griswold vacation that we had one time. We were going to Yellowstone, and our flight from Oklahoma City got delayed, which therefore caused us to miss all of our connecting flights. It was just one of those vacations where, like, everything went wrong, one thing after another. So we missed our flights. It was going to be, you know, however long to wait and catch another flight. And Dad said, we're just going to rent a car and drive. I said, okay. So we rented this car. We're probably an hour from where our cabin was, where we were going to stay. And the road was literally shut down for road construction for like 3 hours. Like, you had to just sit there. And it was going to take 3 hours to backtrack and go around. So we just sat there in the middle of the night, waited on that. So anyways, we finally get there, and then we get to our room, and someone else is there. So we had, you know, I mean, it's like 5 o'clock in the morning, and we're knocking, you know, trying to get into the room, and someone shows up at the door. So anyways, finally we make it to our room, and then, you know, 7 o'clock, bright and early, we're up and ready to go have fun all day at Yellowstone National Park. That was my dad. Every vacation was planned out. There was no sleeping in. You were getting up. You were going. We had an itinerary. And anyways, it was just a lot of fun. But my point is to have fun with your kids. They grow up, as most of you know better than me, way too fast. And I believe that God wants us to relax and enjoy life and just have fun. So in closing, if you'll just bow your head and close your eyes, I'm going to wrap this up real quick. But, you know, maybe you're here today and you find yourself, maybe, you know, you can relate to this story, and maybe you relate to the prodigal son. Maybe you've messed up. Maybe you've made some bad decisions and you need forgiven. Maybe you're here and you've made some bad decisions and you need a father to run to. Maybe your earthly father isn't that father that you can run to and find forgiveness. But I can guarantee you that your heavenly father is. Maybe you're a dad here today and you feel like you've not done a great job. Maybe you've not been the best dad that you can be. But I just want to encourage you that it's not too late. You know, I encourage you to turn to God and learn from the best. He's the best father we could ever ask for. And maybe you know, you need to just turn to Him and just pray, God, help me to be a better father. Help me to encourage my kids. Help me to forgive my kids. Help me to have fun with my kids. Whatever it is, you know, maybe you need to just be more generous with your kids. Maybe you need to give your kids more time, more of you. And I just am here today to encourage you to do that. But first, none of this is possible. We can be a good parent, but we can't be a great parent without the power of the Holy Spirit. And so maybe you're here today and you're thinking, you know, I can't be any better because I don't have that strength, that supernatural strength that comes from a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And I just want to encourage you, if that's you right now and you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart, you've never asked Him to, you know, come into your life and forgive you of your sins, I just want to encourage you to just pray with me right now. It's a simple prayer that you can do, and you can just pray this. Lord, forgive me where I've failed you. Forgive me where I've been a prodigal child to you, and I've turned away from you, and I haven't lived a life that honors you, and I pray that you would just forgive me of that. And I pray that you would come into my life and save me so that I can spend eternity with you in heaven. And I guarantee you that the your Heavenly Father is running towards you right now, begging you, pleading with you to make that decision, to just say, it's that simple. All you have to do is ask. All you have to do is ask for forgiveness. If you've prayed that prayer, would you mind just raising your hand just so we kind of know and can encourage you in that? Thank you. I just want to pray and we'll wrap this up today. Lord, I thank you so much for fathers, Lord, and just how important they are in our lives. I just thank you for men of integrity, men of that are strong for you, and that work hard to provide for their families and to raise kids, and it's a hard job, and I just pray that you would equip them to be godly fathers to their kids, and that they would just make decisions that honor you, that they would cherish the opportunity to raise their children and to just pour out love and encouragement to their kids. Lord, I pray that you would give them the strength to encourage their children, even when their kids are, you know, making bad decisions or doing things that disappoint them. I pray that you'd help them to find words of encouragement to give them. I pray that you would help them to forgive their kids when needed, and that they would just have fun and enjoy life with their children that you've blessed them with. And for all of us, Lord, I pray that you would help us just to live a life that honors you, and that you would just forgive us where we fail you. It's in your name I pray. Amen.
Thank you guys again for listening today. If you've made a commitment today, or if you have any needs, feel free to contact us at info@thousandhillsranch.church, or you can text or call 580-216-6427. And may God bless the ride you're on.